and now through the written word and the word, may we come to know you, the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me to come along and preach this morning. I was just thinking when I came to preach here, it was actually Maundy Thursday, and my main memory of preaching here is that I just started when the computer failed. And I remember Phil, who was on the desk at the time, working to breathe new life into the computer. And I was very, very relieved when it came back on again. So we're hoping that we don't get a replay of that this morning. So the presentation of Christ in the temple introduces us to two older residents of Jerusalem. To put them in the order that they are mentioned anyway, they are Simeon and Anna. But I don't think that either one of them has primacy over the other. We can learn much from both of them. We are told that neither of them are young, and as the passage unfolds, they both model a powerful, passionate, and energetic response to the revelation of Jesus. Simeon. Well, Simeon has spent his life believing that he would live to see the Christ. And as he aged, he must have wondered if he might have been mistaken. But he remained expectant. And finally, the day arrives, and the Spirit prompts him to go up to the temple. I like to wonder what form that prompting took. I like to imagine how it might have been. Was it a very understated nudge from the Holy Spirit? Just the sort of feeling? Just the sort of... You might like to nip up to the temple today, maybe. Perhaps he just got the feeling he should go in such an understated way. I don't know. But when he arrived and he saw the child, what was that like? I wonder, did a still small voice in his ear say something like, Simeon, you know the one you've been waiting for? Well, you might like to just look over there right now. And there stands a very ordinary looking Galilean family with their first child. And they're offering a pair of young birds as their sacrifice, as they can't afford a lamb. And Simeon recognizes who the baby is. He steps forward and does what he was born to do. In fact, it's what we're all born to do. He blesses Christ. Were there joyful tears from this old man as he poured out his praise to God in the words of what we now call the Dunc Dimittis? I certainly hope so. And Simeon's song, the Nunc Dimittis, meaning permission to depart, is a song of joyful fulfillment and faith that God's purposes will work out in history. Many of the themes of Isaiah chapters 40 to 55 seem to be referred to in Simeon's song. So for Simeon, a lifetime of studying the scriptures is fulfilled and articulated in a new song of praise. And Mary, it seems, remembers and ponders it. Had Simeon spent his life expecting a baby? Had he spent his life expecting something different? We're told he was expecting the consolation of Israel. So did he spend his life perhaps expecting a sort of restoration of a Davidic-style monarchy? We don't know. But we do know that Simeon had spent his life being expectant. He had spent his life looking and watching and waiting for what God was going to do. So when the Messiah arrives, Simeon recognizes him. He blesses him, the Christ, the son of Mary, the brother of his blood and bone, the one who will be tempted, and all, the great high priest who knows our pains because he too has known them. And Simeon too quietly warns Mary of the trials and darkness ahead. And there's another person in the temple that day too who is waiting on God, Anna. We are told that she's a lady of 84 years. She worships, fasts, and prays day and night. And coming up at that hour, she too recognizes Jesus. She thanks God and begins to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna, we are told, goes and tells all about him. The Bible commentator, E. Caird, who wrote Bible commentaries several decades ago now, makes a very interesting point about Simeon and Anna. He says Simeon and Anna were two people whose total loyalty to the Jewish law, far from making them satisfied with its provisions, had kindled in them a flame of expectancy. Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. Anna and others like her were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The piety, the religious life of the Old Testament, properly understood, produced men and women longing for the coming of the gospel. And I would want to add something to that as well. I would say that Simeon and Anna can teach us much as Christians today too. So Debbie, please can I have the first slide up, please? There we go. And the computer's working. I love this picture, which has just appeared now. And I'm going to say that what I am now going to be sharing, I have shamelessly borrowed from a talk that Bishop John gives. Oh, someone didn't approve of that. The painting is by a British-born artist called Dinah Rowe Kendall. She was born in 1923, and as far as I can make out, she's still with us 100 years later. As you can see, she paints vibrant, colourful pictures, and her works are inspired by her Christian faith. And as you can see, this picture is her imaginings of Jesus in the temple. And what I find so interesting is the way that she has painted Simeon and Anna. Simeon is shown gazing on the far left of the picture, the gentleman with the striped top on. Simeon is shown gazing with wonder at the Christ child, realizing that the answer to all of his expectations, his hopes, and his longings throughout his life are lying, wriggling in his arms. And look at Anna on the right of the picture. She is painted with the figure of an older lady, but look at the energy in her. She's turned to face the onlookers. This is not a pensioner saying, you might just be interested in this. No. This is a lady of 84 years, given full energy and vigour by the presence of Christ. And all she wants to do is share him with other people. And I can just imagine her aged but still strong voice shouting, look, look, he's here. Come and see. I just love the picture. I also love the way that Anna is turned away and her whole body becomes a point to Jesus and we can't see her face. It's not about her at all. It's all about Jesus. Now, early last week, we had a meeting in the bungalow, a meeting of the worship committee, a joint meeting between the PJs and St. George's worship committee. And Philip opened the meeting by reading to us from Mark's Gospel. He read to us from chapter 1, the first recorded words that Jesus says in Mark's Gospel. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And you know, sometimes in all the busyness of church, we forget things. Sometimes we can lose the wonder at the presence of Christ that Simeon and Anna felt. Sometimes we can forget that we have good news to share at all. And that is certainly something to be repented of. We need to guard ourselves and each other a level of spiritual exhaustion that casts our eyes down and we lose the sight of Christ. If our spiritual batteries are charged, we will take joy in seeing where Christ is at work and in pointing people towards him. In other words, we will be like Simeon and Anna. And I have another picture to share as well. And Debbie, if you could just change the slides across now. Thank you. It's also taken from Bishop John's talk. This picture shows a detail from the Eisenhelm altarpiece in Germany by the 16th century painter Matthias Grunewald. This panel of the altarpiece shows John the Baptist standing at the crucifixion of Christ. Now, John the Baptist, of course, at the crucifixion, but Grunewald makes an important point by painting him there. You see, John's ministry had been about preparing people for the coming of Christ and pointing them towards him. And here he is, painted at the foot of the cross, pointing people to Jesus. Behind John are the words of his recorded in John's Gospel. He must increase and I must decrease. And at his feet is a lamb looking like one who is slain. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John stands and points us to Jesus. Because you see, in John, both the godly virtues that we see in Simeon and Anna are existing. He lived his life in expectation of the coming Messiah, and he spent his ministry pointing people towards Jesus. It's a vocation that we all share. It doesn't matter whether we are old or young, licensed, ordained, or serving beyond the church. It doesn't matter whether we are clever or whether we have a skill set that is not valued in the world's eyes. None of it matters. Our calling for all of us as Christians is always to be looking for what God is doing and seeking opportunities to point people to Christ. Debbie, can I go back to the original picture now, please? Thank you. So as I finish, I hope that Debbie will just leave this painting up for us to contemplate and to think about and gaze at before we continue with our service. So what about us? Are we expectant, like Simeon, or are we just going through the motions? Do we believe that Christ is at work in our lives, the lives of those around us and beyond? Are we asking Jesus to show us what he is doing? Are we looking for opportunities to join in? Are we expectant? Are we pointing people to Christ or keeping the peace? Are we able to joyously share our faith with those around us? Do you know, doors can open more easily than we might. Sometimes just telling people a little bit about your friends at church can start the conversation off. People are more interested than we might realise. Are we pointing people to Christ? So, brothers and sisters, let's be joyfully challenged anew by Simeon and Anna. And as we spend a moment now just looking at the picture, let's do business with God in our hearts. And if we feel that we're just going through the motions, let's ask him to make us expectant and point us to Christ again. Amen.